Acts chapter 4, verse 7 through 12. That's what we're going to do. Bible says, they being the Sanhedrin, they being the officials that read the temple or that led the temple and officiated over the temple, they had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus." Can I get a witness on that part? "It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. And salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." Lord, we come before you this morning, Lord, knowing that you are indeed mighty, Lord, knowing that you are awesome, Lord, knowing that you meet us in this place, knowing that we face trials and tribulations, and Lord, knowing that you are bigger than them. Lord, as we put our eyes upon you, Lord, that you would meet us, that you would meet us here, Lord, that you would empower us to overcome every challenge, Lord, that we face, that you would guide us into truth by your Spirit, Lord, that we might make proper decisions, Lord, good choices, and we would find the truth, and the truth would set us free. We give you praise for that in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen, amen. Amen. Well, I checked the, where's Jimmy at? And back there, it is raining today. Anybody figure that out yet? Well, I checked the weather report. It is raining indeed, but the rain is going to hold off until 2 o'clock. That is important because if it is raining at the end of church, we don't have barbecue. And Todd, I told your wife we were going to hook you up. We got barbecue happening for you today. There is a 100% chance of rain coming at 2 o'clock. That is after our time. Now, when rain comes, there is a truth that we deal with in our house. The sermon is called Facing the Truth. How many of you guys got a little truth you're going to have to face from last week? Amen. Trying to dodge that? Yeah. There is a truth that happens in my house when it rains. When it rains a lot, my house floods. That's a truth we ain't going to get away from. Now, Miss Gail knew that because I have shared with you our trials and tribulations of dealing with flooding at the flooding time. And usually there's this little rain thing that happens about Thanksgiving, and we often get flooded. And so anyway, Gail got some waterproof paint, and she indeed painted some of the stucco on her house because it was getting wet from sprinklers. And she said, "I know the flooding problem that you have. I've got waterproof paint that can waterproof your walls." Doesn't that sound good? Yeah. You know, and I'm thinking, you know, I got the paint. She was like 4 or 5 gallons of this stuff, and I'm thinking, wow, That's so cool, you know. And it floods in the room that I built, so I know how it's built, you know. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm just kind of rolling through it in my head. You guys do that when you do a little project? Just kind of picture, okay, paint. And I'm picturing my wall. And I'm picturing the wall as I, here we go, as I made it. And you put stucco on the outside. You put, it doesn't look like that, but I put chicken wire with this black paper on, you staple it onto the, or nail it onto the studs. And then on top of that, you put your scratch coat, which is just a ugly looking coat. And then you put your brown coat, which is kind of a nicer looking coat of stucco. And then you put your color coat on. And I remembered that at the bottom of all your walls, you put this little metal trim piece. And if you can see it, I don't know if you can see it from where you're sitting, there are holes in the bottom of that trim piece. And what it is your stucco is porous. And so water hits the stucco and goes right through it. And what it does, it gets caught on this other layer, and it goes right down and drains out right through them holes. That's what them holes are there for. So I started thinking, oh, the holes. Because I can waterproof this all day long. But as the water rises up, it's going right through those holes. It doesn't matter what I do to the walls. I've got an open sieve at the bottom of my wall. It's going to let that water come through. You know what that is, folks? That is an uncomfortable truth in my house, that when that rain gets far enough up on that wall, it is going to come running right on to my floor. Dealing with truth, facing reality. Many of us have to do that weekly. Amen? I mean, you can hide from it. I mean, I'll tell you what. Today, right now, I can hide from that truth because that water ain't high enough. And I can fool myself into thinking that I'm doing a good job. You guys do that sometimes? Hey, I think I got this handled. Got this handled. And all of a sudden, the rains come. And the flood comes. It's like, oh, I thought I had it handled. But I really don't got it handled. We're in a series called The Reality of the Resurrection. And there are some, the reason we're doing it is because there are some that would deny the resurrection. That would say that there is no resurrection. Going to read about the Sadducees today. They say that there is no resurrection. They don't want anybody talking about it. Now, give you a little lead up to what we're talking about today, or kind of where we're at in Acts. The first seven chapters of Acts deal with the first 2 years of the church. And this is kind of rough, maybe 2-3 years. First seven chapters of Acts going through the stoning of Stephen and the persecution. And Luke, as he writes this, he gives us some snippets of what the early life in the church looked like. And that's what I skipped over earlier. Verses 42 through 47 of chapter 2 of Acts says, they devoted themselves, they being the 3,000 people that got saved on the day of Pentecost. On the first day of the church, 50 days after the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. 50 days after the first Easter, per se. Passover, if you're Jewish. All right. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship. This is the fellowship. Theirs was 3,000. They had more. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. You know what that means? They had need. Amen? Okay. Just want you to think you were the only one. There's other people way back when. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And what Luke does is he gives us a picture of the early church, that they would meet in the temple. And actually where they met was in Solomon's colonnade right there. Okay? And so they would be having church right in the midst of the Jewish religion. And they viewed themselves as being part of the Jewish religion. Messianic Jews, that they would be saying, hey, we have the answers and we want to tell you them. And so the temple was there. Acts chapter 3 and Acts chapter 4 are, and we talked about Acts chapter 3, the healing of the beggar that they're talking about, which happened maybe at this gate or one of these other gates. And there was a great commotion. I mean, this guy had been begging there his whole life. He was 40 years old. He had been born lame, and he was miraculously healed by the power of Jesus. And they were making a little commotion. Luke tells us of the story of the early church and the miracles that God did among his people, and he also tells us about all the people that were standing in the way. Do you ever feel like there's somebody standing in your way? Progress in your life, challenges in your life. This is a story of the resistance of the rulers to the truth of God. Like it or not, everybody's got to face the truth. How are you doing? Because when the truth of your life, when the truth of God confronts you, you've got two choices. You can accept it and grow, or you can reject it and try and hold it down. We're going to take a look at that choice today. Amen? Amen? Amen. All right. We're going to talk about facing the truth. The apostles were challenged right in the temple. Right where they've been coming their whole lives. Coming to have church, to meet with God. The priest, verse, I didn't read this, back to verse 1 of chapter 4. The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They did that because things were getting out of hand. They had this guy that had been healed. We see that God was adding to their numbers up to 5,000 men, maybe 8,000 people. Things were getting a little bit crazy. Now, it says that it was the captain of the temple guard. This guy was second only to the high priest, the only guy he reported to, and he was in charge of keeping control, of keeping everything in order in the temple. Now, this is just kind of a plain, doesn't show much going on here, but they would sell sacrifices in there. I mean, this is a big deal. It was completed in 4 BC by Herod, a complete rework, was intended to handle the massive increase in population that happened in Jerusalem during the major feasts. The major feasts were Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. Passover and Pentecost happened in the spring. You know, realistically, look at Easter is about the time of Passover, and then 50 days after that, end of May, kind of June, you have Pentecost, and then Tabernacles in the fall after harvest. And what would happen is back in the day, in Jesus' day, population of Jerusalem was about 150,000 people. But it would swell during these three feasts because every Jew on the planet was required, I'll say, highly suggested that you had to make one of the feasts. And if you came to Passover, you'd often just hang out. I mean, take you a while to get there. Just hang out the 2 months until Pentecost came. And so they would be hanging out. And what would happen is the population of Jerusalem would swell. And as we take a look at the temple, this is a recreation of drawing of Herod's temple. The capacity of that was 200,000. Joe and I went to the Chargers game last week, and there was, I think, 62,000 there. So three Qualcomm stadiums. I think Billy Graham had over 100,000. So Billy Graham's there, two Billy Graham shows, okay, or outreaches there. Now, that was during the feast time. And off feast time, the population of Jerusalem would drop to 10%. So, I'm just doing some math. I looked this up. I could not find it. I could not find average daily attendance for the temple. I looked everywhere I could find. I couldn't find it. I'm sure it's someplace. I couldn't find it. So if we just assume that the capacity is built for 200,000 and they were running at 10% of that, we'd be talking about 20,000 people. Now, it could have been lower than that. But let's just say, use those rough numbers. Now, if the church, if there's 20,000 people in this whole area and there's 5,000 men, maybe 10,000 men and women meeting right here, that's a little bit of a commotion, right? And they had all kinds of teachers around. I mean, they have guys, you know, Jewish rabbis and stuff. They'd be having a class over here, class over here. Bible tells us nobody approached them because of the miraculous powers and the messages they had. So they'd be having all their classes all over the place. And the temple and the captain of the temple guard, you know, he'd be kind of just managing all this stuff. I mean, you got your sacrifices, you know, on sale. You got your animals over here. You got your birds over here. Money changers over here. Teacher over here. Teacher over here. Teacher over here. And then you got all these Christians that are taking the place over. And so that is what is going on. They say, hey, what are you doing, guys? This is getting a little out of control. Many people have problems with the truth. The captain of the temple guard was having problems with the truth, folks. The Sadducees were having problems with the truth. The rulers of the temple were having problems with the truth and the popularity that the truth was having. He says, they were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They're saying, hey, Jesus raised from the dead. We're just telling you what happened. And they're going, would you shut up? Why? Because the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection of the dead. What you see is what you get. Now, these are the guys that are running God's temple. And I am scratching my head going, man, what is the motivation? What is going on? Why would these guys, what is their motivation to serve God? So I did some research. How many of you are interested in my research? Oh, good. All right. All right. Go to 166, 167 B.C. And what you have is something that is called the Maccabean Revolt. And the Maccabees, led by Judas Maccabee, and he had a whole family, rebelled against the Greeks. It was the remnants when Alexander the Great died. They split his kingdom into four spots, four areas, and one of them had the Holy Land, and the leader of that, Antiochus Epiphanes, he went into the temple, which is the temple prior to this one, and it was all fixed up by Herod. And he sacrificed a pig on the altar to God. And he desecrated the altar. And the Jews got so fired up. And I believe God just rallied behind them because of the genuineness of their concern for him and for his place on earth and all this kind of and all that stuff. And they overthrew the Greeks and they kicked them out. Now, the Sadducees, the Sadducean movement began with the Maccabean revolt. And they viewed that revolt as the beginning of the Messianic era. So they had no need for a Messiah. They had no need for a Christ because they were living in the Messianic time. They had no need for an afterlife. They had no need for resurrection of the dead. This was as good as it got. This is it right here. We're living as God's chosen people in God's chosen time. That is why they did not care about the resurrection. It also helps that they were some of the most wealthy people in Jerusalem. Because they could say, look at us. We are blessed. We are obviously right. So quit messing with our stuff. Because if you line up on God, he will bless you. The message of the cross is deeper than that, folks. Can I get a witness on that, please? I mean, it's a little bit more simple than I'm going to do what God wants and then he's going to owe me. Message of life is deeper than that. There's more to it. It's like my back room. Sometimes life gets a little bit messy. And we can't just blame it all on God. When it starts raining, my wife goes into this mode. Protect the house. And she begins to stack towels along the back wall, as if they are going to form a force field that will keep all water from coming through the wall. It doesn't work, but she still does it. It's like, got to have the towels there. And when the towels start getting wet, that's when Joe and I, where's Joe? We go into business. We have rain boots. I had to buy him 12s. You know, he doesn't fit in my boots anymore. And we go out on the back of the house and get a big wide broom, and we start sweeping all the water on the side of the house back to the front of the house where it can drain. I tell you, sometimes life is just messy. Have you found this to be true? And that's truth. That is truth. The truth of life is that we are surrounded by sin, and sometimes it is going to overflow onto your life. And I don't care how lined up on the Lord you are, it will still overflow on you. Say, wait a minute, I don't know about that. Remember, they put Jesus on a cross. Can I get a witness on it? If there was going to be anybody lined up on God and just to receive the blessings of God, and be a display to us, we should be able to look at Jesus and the golden life that he had. That he never had any challenges. He never had any problems. All he did was walk around praying to God, and gold and all kinds of great things splashed down on him. No, the message of the gospel is a little bit more than that. The message of God, the truth of God, is a little bit more complex than that. But there are a lot of churches that you can go to, and that is what they preach. They preach what the Sadducees preach. Truth of God will hit you. You got a choice. You can accept it or you can reject it. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right. I'm not going to say it's going to get any easier than this, folks, today. It's a rather thick subject that we're dealing with. Is that okay? Don't let anybody get out, Rope. Okay. Don't be fooled by that Bible with the pink flowers on it. He's still a tough guy. All right. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them, by what power or what name did you do this? And there are those that will challenge the message of the gospel. What are you guys doing? The Sanhedrin numbered about 70 guys, and they were in charge of the Jewish religion. They were in charge of the temple. They ran the place. And there's probably about 70 people in here. It would have been a setup, something like this. It would have had guards up there. And here's Peter and John having to give an answer. Matthew, they treated Jesus the same way. Jesus entered the temple courts, and while he was teaching, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him, says, by what authority are you doing these things? What gives you the right? And so in the same way that they challenged Peter and John, they also challenged our Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus let them know that would happen. He said, because they challenged me, they're going to challenge you too. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you too. And as you follow the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, there will be those arrayed against you because they don't want you finding success. Have you found that to be true? Jesus told them. He says, when you go in your life and you expose falsehood, there will be those who stand against you because there are those who would rather just live the lie. I used to live the lie till I realized my life, it was a grand display that the lie will not work. That's kind of what Roki said. The truth is a challenge to those who are running the temple. The truth is a challenge to those churches that are promising blessings to you and they'll try to suppress it. The truth is a challenge to those people who follow God, just hoping to get something from him. Truth of God is a challenge. You can accept it or you can reject it. But if you're trying to twist it, it's never going to work out for you. Amen? The truth can catch up to you. Thank you for that. I'll take that. It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified. Man, would that be a bummer? Have that statement pointed at you, who you crucified. Oh, man. I messed up. Whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He's right here. Try jumping, man. He is. Talk about Jesus. The stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Man, you guys messed up. You missed God's plan. You missed God's Savior, and you missed God's Son. And it's not as if God was trying to pull one over on them. It's not as if God is trying to pull one over on you. 600 years B.C., prophet Isaiah, speaking to the nation of Israel, says, so this is what the sovereign Lord says. See, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation. The one who trusts in him will never be dismayed. 600 years B.C., you know what? If I got that promise, I'd be looking for that cornerstone. Amen. Right? I would be seeking that thing. I'll tell you what, we've been, took Roki a while, took me a while, took Balthazar a while. Many of us got that promise. It takes us a while to come around. Smart men looking, smart people looking for that stone. Peter says, man, you guys went in an entirely different direction. Remember, he is talking to the leadership of the Jewish religion. You guys have gone in the wrong direction. And you know what? God didn't even stop. God is keeping on, keeping on. God is going on with his path, with his plan. You miss God's plan, he doesn't stop the bus and wait for you to get on. He is moving on. Maybe you'll get a shot to get on later, but it is not going to be a good time in the meantime. Have you found that to be true? I have found that to be true. He says, you guys continue on doing what you're doing. We're telling people about Jesus in the courtyard here. He says he's the capstone. I got a picture for you on that. Mike does a lot of block work, make a wall. And on the top of the wall is the capstone. It's a fancy, kind of nice-looking thing on the top. And it is that which completes the job. Jesus completed the job. Salvation of mankind, an opportunity for you. He takes the plan of God, takes the whole Old Testament all rolled in, a reminder of sins. You guys need something more than this. And he comes and lives a perfect life, hangs on a cross for you and for me. He is the capstone of God's redemptive plan for your life. And it will work. There is no name under heaven, no other name under heaven by which you must be saved. It'll work for you. Amen?
Amen.
I stand before you today hoping for rain. Because I think I got a solution, folks. Sits right here in front of you. Anybody know what this is? A water pump. Very good. See, those are people from the East Coast. They know about this stuff. They have basements that flood. Yes, this is indeed a sump pump. How many of you guys have no clue what a sump pump is? See, West Coast people, man. What? All right. Well, this is what's going to happen, right? Right where it floods in my backyard. Joe, my wonderful son, 15th birthday last week, he's a stud, dug a hole this big. I said, dig a hole, Joe. I thought it was a good digging bar. Man, he just dug it. It's like a machine, yeah. Buried that thing right there, right next to where it floods, right? Just, and the grass comes to about right here, all right? And so, and it has a lid on it. When it's raining, I'm going to pull that lid off. I'm actually going to put another lid with a little hole in it, but I'm going to put this thing in there. And this right here, put the hose on it. 50-foot hose. Drag it where we used to sweep the water. Drag that hose right out there. Comes right off of this. And this is kind of like a reverse toilet. When the water pushes this thing up, and it'll fill up in here, and it'll start pumping that water out. And if it pumps enough and pushes it away, there will be no more need for the towel force field anymore.
And the mopping.
And the mopping. And me and Joe out there in the rain pushing. It'll be like, oh, how cool is that? That's the capstone, folks. It is something that will work for your challenge. Salvation that is found in no other name under heaven but Jesus Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. All right. Still not done yet. Still uphill. God offers us choices. God offers you choices. God offered the Sanhedrin, the Sadducees, the rulers of the temple, choices. He says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and take note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could not, since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing that they could say. Say yes to God and you will be changed, folks. Need a change in your life? Say yes to God this morning. These were just ordinary men. And the Sadducees, they were not happy with Peter and John. They wanted to mess with them. But because they were ordinary men, they were limited by their legal system because they could not arrest them because in their minds, they didn't know what they were doing. So they told them, you guys better stop. And they let them go. They made threats. They carried out those threats. Acts chapter 5, Peter and John are arrested again. And an angel breaks them out of jail. It is great. You want to read something cool? Read Acts chapter 5. I mean, it is so cool. And then the Sanhedrin, the 70 guys were all meeting and said, bring these guys in. We're going to get them. They're gone. And then some guy says, hey, they're out there preaching again. Is that cool? Arrested, thrown in jail, broken out by an angel. They're right back out there preaching again. And they're just getting arrested for preaching. Praise the Lord. They are flogged. They are whipped with a cat of nine tails, a leather whip with nine thongs on, or multiple thongs on it, with pieces of glass and bone. I mean, that's how they whipped Jesus. Oftentimes, internal organs would be laid bare. And it says, and this is a challenge for me to comprehend, that they left that flogging praising God that they were able to suffer for the name. I don't know what you went through this week, but I think it pales in comparison to flogging. Bible says that they continued the ministry, that Stephen was arrested, not even put on trial, and then killed. Acts chapter 7 and 8, 6 and 7. And then at that point, a great persecution begins against the church, and the church is scattered. These guys were making threats to Peter and John, and they had the ability to carry him out. They crucified Jesus. They put him on trial. They lied on him, and they beat him, and they killed him. All as the dude that is healed is standing right there. And they could not make a tie between the truth of God and the miracles of God. And I hope as you stand here today and you see God working in the lives around you, that you can tie the miracles of God with the truth of God. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. These guys were trying to hold down the truth. I spent 29 years of my life trying to hold back the truth. You cannot deny the truth and have life. Last thing, challenges to the truth. We are surrounded by challenges to the truth. They called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. And you stand for the truth. They had a real problem. The leaders of their day were standing in opposition to the plans of God. And they could carry out that opposition. And the apostles are faced with a choice. Obey these guys or obey God? What do you choose? He says, they say, we can't stop talking about Jesus. It's kind of like my sump pump here. I'll tell you what, I get this thing hooked up and it starts pumping my water and I don't have to go outside anymore and listen to Lisa go, no, there's going to be mold in the walls. Guess what? I am going to tell anybody who talks to me about flooding in their backyard. I got the answer right here. And that's what Peter and John were saying. We got the answer right here. We can't help telling people about Jesus. We can't help telling people about the truth. And for many, that's a real bummer. The truth is not always a blessing, folks. For Stephen, as he was being stoned, there are many who would say, well, that's not a blessing. I mean, he looked, opened up, and there's heaven right there. He didn't seem like he was bummed. He seemed like he was blessed. He was going to heaven. Truth is not always a blessing, but I'll tell you what. You can write this down. The truth is always the truth. We don't follow the truth because it is pleasurable. We follow the truth because it is right. We follow the truth because where else are we going to go? What else can you do? Truth is truth. I had some Jehovah's Witnesses at the door, and we talked, I think, for an hour. And the lady was talking to me about her comprehension of the Holy Spirit. And they believe that the Holy Spirit is like a lightning bolt that comes from heaven. And she says, well, that's just a whole lot easier for me to understand. I said, really? I said, how big is God? What? I go, how big is Jehovah? Oh, is he small? Oh, no, he's big. I said, would you want a little God? And I had a pumpkin. I said, look, is this the kind of God you want? Because you can figure that one out easy. I go, they know the Bible. Right? I said, in the Old Testament, they got people who made idols. Oh, you can figure that one out easy. I said, you know what? I am not selecting a God based on the ease on which I can understand him. Because my God is infinite. My God is bigger than me. My God is as big as the whole universe. And my puny brain, I struggle trying to fit the comprehension of God in that. And I don't choose God based on my comprehension. I choose God based on his revealed truth. And so we come in here today. And some people say, wait a minute. If I serve God, aren't I going to be blessed? You serve God, you will be lined up on the truth. And some people give their lives based on that. And you're thinking, well, I was just hoping for rent. It's a little bit more than complex than that, folks. Facing the truth, you're going to accept it or you're going to reject it. But if you reject the truth, you'll never find fullness in your life. So why are you here today? Some of you are here for help, and that's just fine. Some of you are here and you have had the most incredibly challenging week, and you are saying, my life is just in the pits. I need Jesus to come into my life and transform my situations. That's how come I came to the Lord. That's how come many people have come to the Lord in this place. And if that is you today, you have an opportunity to receive him as your Savior. Lisa, you want to come up and play a little something for me? Some of you have come here for help. Some of you, God has called to this place to help. That there is a light, as the apostles brought the light of the gospel right into the temple, and they were telling people about Jesus and the resurrection and the opportunity that exists beyond this life to a life beyond. You're here for help or you're here to help? Now, if you're here for help, you've been through some rapids and some rough water in your life, and you're thinking, it's still a little bit rough out there. That's okay. If you're here to help, you still get help. We're still learning on the way. Have you found that to be true? Lord, we come before you this morning knowing that you are mighty, Lord, knowing that you are the author of truth, that you are the way, the truth, and the life, Lord, and that you offer eternal life, that there is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. Now, Lord, we got to be saved, Lord. What we're doing is not working. The opportunities that are around us Drag us down, Lord. And there is only one way. There is only one opportunity, Lord, to lead us out of darkness. That kid knows the answer right there. Yeah. Says, come to me as a small child. Yeah. You're here this afternoon, morning. You're saying, I need help. Lord, I am so messed up. Never even thought about the resurrection. I'm just trying to get through this week. Message of the cross comes and lets you know there is more to life than this week. There is more to life than getting through. That there is a Savior in heaven that would reach down his hand and say, follow me. Leave everything around you. Put your eyes upon me. It says, you can't follow me and stay where you're at. Holy Spirit speaking to your heart right now, and he's just saying, child, you can come in out of the cold. I don't know what's going on in your life. But the Lord does. Lord, speaking to your heart. Is it dark where you're living? Is it cold where you're living? Is there a need to own up to the truth, to realize that rain's coming, flood's coming, and that you've got no hope? That's you this morning. The Lord meets you in this place. He'd say, child, trust in me. We'll start brand new. Nobody's looking around, but the Holy Spirit is speaking right to your heart. You're saying, oh, maybe there's a chance for me. Maybe there's an opportunity for me. It is right now. The Lord would reach his hand down from heaven. I'm just asking, if that is you this morning and you are feeling cold and you are feeling dark and you are feeling that you need a rescue, that you would just lift your hand and say, here I am, Lord. You would just raise your hand and say, here I am, Lord. Rescue me right there and there and there and there. You can put your hand down if I've seen it. See that one in the back? I was so lost. I was sitting in a church just like, well, about 10 times bigger than this, but 1,000 people. Pastor said that, and he said, I'm going to pause one more minute. You didn't put your hand up before, but the Lord is speaking to your heart. Time to raise your hand. That you didn't put your hand up. The Lord's speaking to your heart. I just want you to just raise your hand up. Say, that's me. I'm ready for a new life. Lord, for those that raise their hands, Lord, I pray right now, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, Lord, as you reach down, as Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. Hallelujah, Lord, that there are these people that are here this morning, Lord, that are challenged in their week, challenged in their lives, Lord, challenged by the darkness, challenged by the difficulties and the challenges, Lord, challenged by your truth. I am praying, Lord, your Holy Spirit says that you would guide us into truth, Lord, that you would come, Lord, that you would seal your word in each one of these people, Lord, that they would embrace you, Lord, that they would put their arms around you, Lord, as you put your arms around them, and they would find new fullness and new joy in their lives. No more trying to mold the truth, shape the food, just accept the truth and move on. One more moment. Lisa's going to sing a song. Perhaps you're here this morning. And the Lord is speaking to your heart. And he says, you're here to help. There's folks all around you that are challenged. And the folks that are working around here don't have enough hands. He says, I've called you to this place for you to be healed and for you to be used, just like Peter and John, for you to be used in the healing of others. You say, man, it's so scary. Yeah, it's scary. Peter and John under arrest, going to go to jail, going to get whipped. It is a scary thing. But it doesn't make it false. The truth is the truth. And the Lord will call us to challenging times. Because heaven comes later. There is indeed a resurrection. Nobody's looking around. But the Lord is speaking to your heart. And you're saying, okay, Lord, show me how. Okay, Lord, provide some assistance for me. And I'll help. I want to help somebody learn about you. I want to help bring that truth. I want to shine my light on the top of a mountain, bring some light where there is only darkness. Just a moment more. Nobody looking around. Lord, speak into your heart saying, I'll help. You raise your hand on that. Lord, speak into your heart over here, right here, right there. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Right there. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I see that hand. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Sing a song for us, Lisa. We'll end our time in worship.